And good morning, everyone. I'm Mike Berry with ONC, and I'd like to welcome and thank you for joining the April 2022 HITECH meeting. We are always very excited that you can be with us. As a reminder, your feedback is welcomed, which can be typed in the chat feature throughout the meeting or could be made verbally during the public comment period that is scheduled at about 10:50 Eastern Time this morning. So let's get started with our meeting. And first, I'd like to welcome ONC's executive leadership team to the meeting. And with us today is our national coordinator, Nikki Tripathi, Steve Posnack, the deputy national coordinator, and Amina Shambag, the executive director of the Office of Technology. We're going to start roll call, call the meeting to order and begin roll call of our HITECH members along with the federal agency representatives of the HITECH. So when I call your name, please indicate that you are with us. And I'll start with our co-chairs, Aaron Meary.
Good morning.
Denise Webb.
Good morning.
Fidel Briggs Melanson. Hans Butendeck. Thomas Cantalina or Jeff Ford. Stephen Eichner.
Present.
Cynthia Fisher. Lisa Fry.
Good morning, I'm here.
Raj Gadbharti. Valerie Gray.
Good morning.
Adi Gundlapalli or Sanjeev Tandon.
Yes, Sanjeev Tandon is here. Good morning.
Stephen Hester.
Good morning, I'm present.
Ram Iyer. Tim Jurgis.
Present.
John Kansky.
Good morning.
Ken Kamoto.
Good morning.
Stephen Lane.
Good morning.
Leslie Leonard. Hung Lu.
Good morning.
Arian Malik. Glenn McDonald will be joining us a little bit later this morning. Jonathan Nebiger. Aaron Neinstein.
Good morning.
Eliel Oliveira.
I'm here. Good morning.
Brett Oliver.
Good morning.
James Pantelis.
Good morning.
Raj Watlani, I believe, is absent today. Michelle Schreiber or Alex Muggy? Abby Sears. Alexis Snyder. Phil Sullivan.
Good morning.
Ram Charan. And Cheryl Turney.
Good morning.
Good morning, everyone. Nice to hear your voices this morning. And now please join me in welcoming Nikki Tripathi for his opening remarks. Nikki.
Great. Thanks so much, Mike. And thanks, everyone, for joining. I'm going to be really brief and really just wanted to say hello because I know we've got a packed agenda today. And then we hope all of you are able to join us in the annual meeting that follows immediately after this. So first off, just want to express, you know, our really sincere appreciation to the HITECH members and the guest presenters for, you know, what we thought was a really successful Health Equity by Design hearing last month. We're really grateful for all of the expertise and the passion and the insights that were shared. And right now we're compiling themes and potential actions that we heard during the hearing to help inform our strategy as it relates to, you know, health equity by design. And we really look forward to, you know, the ongoing engagement with the HITECH as we, you know, dig more and more into this really important area. I'm also really looking forward to hearing from, you know, from the co-chairs of the Interoperability Standards Workgroup, Stephen Lane and Arian Malik, who I know have been working very hard, as they always do, on, you know, with all the other workgroup members to develop recommendations on the draft US CDI version 3. The HITECH will be voting on the workgroup's recommendations today, but the public feedback period is open until April 30th. So everyone should know that and is welcome to provide additional feedback by searching USCDI on healthit.gov, and you can enter your comments in the OnDeck system, the ONC New Data Element and Class Submission System. And I, you know, very much encourage the HITECH to finalize your recommendations today so they can be transmitted to me and ONC within the public comment period. The work for the Interoperability Standards Workgroup is going to continue after today. You know, the workgroup is going to transition into the next phase of their charge, which is to provide recommendations on the 2022 Interoperability Standards Advisory Reference Edition that was published in January. So let me just thank you for all the work that you've done to date and for all of the work that that you're going to do in the next phase of this. On another note, HHS, the department has recently released our updated strategic plan for FY22-26. And that reflects the department's strategies, actions, and progress toward its goals. The plan aligns very much with the 20-25 Federal Health IT Strategic Plan, which many of you may be more familiar with, and certainly includes a strong focus on supporting patients' access to their data. Let me just give a brief, shout out for the annual meeting that's going to follow immediately after this. We've got an abbreviated meeting agenda today so that all of you can join us. We plan to host panel sessions to discuss health IT, health equity, public health, patient access and advocacy, health information exchange, and we're going to be kicking off with a live short talk from Secretary Becerra. So hopefully all of you can join us for that. And let me, again, just thank all of you for joining today. And let me turn it over to Aaron Denise for their opening remarks and the rest of the meeting.
Wonderful. Thank you, Mickey. Appreciate it. And yes, welcome everybody to the April HITECH meeting. It is going to be a fun agenda today, really quick, but we're going to get right into it and then also go allow everybody to transition to the larger meeting, which should be just as exciting as Dr. Tripathi was just saying. Denise?
Good morning. Thank you everyone for joining us today. And hopefully you all can make some time for some of the sessions this afternoon. And I think we'll just go ahead and get started so we can stay on schedule.
Let's go into it and let's get a vote for the prior minutes. If I could get a motion to approve.
Motion to approve.
Wonderful, can I get a second?
Second.
All right. All those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
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 Any opposed, please say nay. And any abstentions? Okay, let's go through today's agenda now so we know what's on deck for the rest of the day. So obviously we just had our opening remarks. Next will be the interoperability standards work group recommendations. As Dr. Tripathi was just mentioning, HITECH will vote on the draft USCDI version 3. Then we'll go to public comment and then final remarks and adjourn. That way we all can get to the bigger party and join the rest of the crew. So with that, I'm going to transition over to you, Denise, to lead us through the first work group.
All right. So I'd like to welcome Stephen Lane and Arian Malik to present on their work group's recommendations to the HITECH. And we will have some discussion and questions and answers. And then hopefully we can move to a vote. To move the recommendations forward from the HITECH to the Office of the National Coordinator. So, Stephen and Arian, you're up.
Terrific. Thank you very much. Is my sound coming through okay, I hope?
Yes, you sound great.
Marvelous. Well, I feel great. Well, thank you.
You have an early morning there if you're in.
You know, it's oh dark 30 here at in California, which may represent why Arian's having trouble connecting. But we are very excited to be here to present the hard work of our interoperability standards work group that has been meeting for the past few months to focus in on recommendations regarding the draft USCDI version 3. So let's go on through the slide. Next one. So we're going to talk about who's in the group, what's the background of the work we've been doing, what we were asked to do by the ONC and the HITECH, how we approach that. We are going to present a full set of recommendations related to the tasks that we were given, and then also some additional recommendations for future work that ONC could focus on and that we'd actually like to ask you to have us focus on. As Mickey mentioned, we are transitioning or have transitioned to move towards making recommendations around the ISA, and that's going to occupy us for the next couple of months, and we'll be back here then to present those suggestions as well. Next slide. So this is who's been involved. It's been a wonderful group to work with, a lot of really engaged membership. I want to remind people that this is probably the fourth iteration or so of a task force or work group that the ONC has chartered to focus on the annual update process of USCDI. Each time we've had a broad range of stakeholders represented and engaged in making these recommendations, and this year is no different. So I really want to thank the hard work of all these members, a number of whom are here today at the HITECH. Frankly, I think those who aren't HITECH members are probably listening on the phone. So we're here representing the work of all these folks. Next slide. So this was the draft USCDI version 3 that was published earlier this year. I want to remind everyone that this is an annual process of advancement. Each year there is a thoughtful look at the existing USCDI version and what has been included therein, and then of all of the recommendations that are presented by the public, the ONC team looks at those and decides which should be added each year, that of items that are ready for exchange, that have proven themselves ready through connectathons, et cetera, and that are felt to meet the priority topics and approaches that the ONC is looking at. So you can see here in the draft version 3 with the stars, all of the new data elements that were proposed in draft version 3. You can see also there are some new data classes like health status, for example, and which was there with one item of health concerns, but they brought over a couple of other items and added a number of additional ones. So we're going to be going through these, not every one, but looking at the recommendations about these. And has Arian joined yet? All right. Well, we will go right ahead. He and I are brothers from another mother, and happy to just continue on. And when Arian shows up, maybe someone could just flag me so I know. All right. On the next slide, we break down the new items that were added for the new data classes and elements. You can see here, each of these is categorized based on why it was added, what specific goal it addresses in terms of the goals that have been identified by the ONC and by the HITECH as being high priority. You can see those that support equity, those that address the needs of underserved populations, those related to supporting public health data exchange, additional USCDI needs that have been identified by the HITECH, and those that relate specifically to or are pointed to by ONC certification. So let's go to the next slide. And this, as I said, this is an annual process. Once the draft version 3, or once a draft version is published by the ONC early in the year, there are opportunities for public feedback, including feedback from the HITECH. The feedback is meant to be both general and specific, and looking at the what is in the draft, looking at opportunities for improvements in the names and definitions of new data classes and elements, looking for suggestions regarding value sets that can be used to help define the scope of those data elements, and then looking at other data elements that perhaps should be included in the next version, recalling that within the ISA there is a leveling process where any new suggested data element is looked at by the ONC and it's determined its readiness for inclusion. So those that are considered to be at level 2 are felt to be technically and socially, if you will, mature enough to add. So we look at all the level 2 elements to see if there are additional ones that might be added, whether there are any barriers to the implementation of any of the elements that have been proposed that perhaps would suggest they should not be included in the next version. And then in this year's round, there were very specific questions that were asked by ONC regarding work by other groups that perhaps could be incorporated into the USCDI. So in this case, we and the public were asked to look at the work of the Gender Harmony Project and looking at whether their suggestions around recorded sex or gender might be used to further elucidate the current sex assigned at birth date element. Similarly, the Gender Harmony Project has done a lot of work on gender identity, and the question was raised as to whether that should be incorporated into the definitions within USCDI. And then a lot of work has been done by the ONC team and others on the Project USA work around defining specifications for address data. And the question was raised as to whether that should also be included into the USCDI. So we, our group, addressed all of these questions and more, as you might imagine. On the next slide are the specific charges that we were given. For our work group, we've been focusing on the first of these two charges, but in general, we are looking at USCDI as well as other interoperability standards. Our first charge was to evaluate the draft USCDI and to provide input on the data elements that were suggested as well as others that might be included. And as we've noted, we're moving on now to focus on recommendations for the ISA. We'll be back in June to discuss those. So, another check to see if Arian has joined us. All right, we will carry on the next slide. Additional areas, as I said, that we were focusing on, and I won't reiterate these in detail, but looking at the work for Gender Harmony, Project USA. We also held hearings looking at disability issues, as the health status data class includes disability status and other issues. So we invited in a number of experts to speak to those topics. We also had somebody come in from the physical therapy community to discuss disability and functioning and functional status. And then Dr. Terry O'Malley and Holly Miller came to also provide input regarding functional assessments. So a lot of great information came to support the recommendations that you're about to hear. On to the next slide. So we came up with quite a number of recommendations, and we'll go through those one by one. We can linger on those that generate questions. I don't know, Denise and Aaron, whether you want us to grab questions as we go or kind of come back to them at the end. I think it might be best, given the volume of recommendations, to go through them top to bottom and then take questions at the end, if that's all right with you. I want to be sensitive to the time.
That was our plan, for you to go through all the recommendations and then we'll open it up for discussion and questions.
Perfect. All right, good.
And Arian's not on yet.
That's fine. For him. All right, it's all good. He does have unique expertise in some of these areas, and I'm going to do the best I can as a one-legged stool here. So the recommendations break down into first those new data classes and elements that were included in the draft, next those that were not included in the draft and which we felt might be best or worth consideration for inclusion in version 3. We made comments related to data elements that were already included in prior versions of USCDI, and then some areas of future focus. So let's just dive right in with the first group relating to items that were included in draft USCDI. So the next slide. And our first recommendation, So first thing we do want to say is that we really were very impressed by the work done by ONC team to put together the draft USCDI V3. We really supported the addition of all of the new data elements that were recommended, as well as the new data classes. You can assume as I go through that we support each of these as they were presented with some changes that we will be commenting on, changes in wording, definitions, et cetera, and a little bit about the arrangement of them. So on to the first recommendation, which is that the health status data class, really one of the key new data classes that was included, we felt should be named health status and assessments, because really to document and quantify the health status or the status of an individual. That is typically done using standardized assessments. There is a long list of assessments that have been standardized and have been coded within the LOIC hierarchy. And our thought was that for this data class, we should include the fact that it involves assessments, that we should bring existing assessments into that class so that they're all in one place within the US CDI structure, and that each of those should be specified using a LOIC code. On to the next slide. Second recommendation, the health concerns data element, which ONC did recommend putting into this health status data class, is really a different sort of a thing. It's kind of more of an open-ended item. It's a legacy data element that we've had in the US CDI from really before its conception, from its earlier life. As the core clinical data set, it does not have the kind of structure of these other assessments. So we felt that health concerns should be maintained in its own data class where it is currently in the US CDI version 2, leaving the health status and assessments class to hold these more formalized assessments. Next recommendation. This is that we really do feel that it's important to have a robust set of LOINC codes, that is to say assessments that are representative of each of these areas within the health status and assessment data class, specifically those that focus on functional status, those that focus on disability status, and those that focus on mental and cognitive status. And you'll note a little bit of a change in wording here in that data element, mental cognitive status. We thought that was more specific to how that data element is going to be functioning. Now, it's not to say that we feel that US CDI needs to name every single potential assessment instrument or LOINC code that might be applicable here, but that it is very helpful for the industry to have a minimum set of assessments that go into each of these data elements with their associated LOINC codes that can be used to support testing and exchange. But the thought is that any structured assessment that is so coded, you know, could be exchanged within this data class. So we did a fair bit of work, both last year in our task force and this year in the work group, putting together some recommendations about specifically which elements are useful in assessing each of these data these areas of function. And as I mentioned, we felt that mental cognitive status was a more appropriate label than mental function for that particular data element. But we do feel that there is a need to do ongoing work with stakeholder groups to identify additional terms, that is to say, formalized assessments to support these data elements that could go into additional areas such as learning disability, mental disability, autism, and then caregivers disability status. So much to do in this area, but having it together in this new data class with these elements is a great start. Next slide. All right, continuing, there are specific data assessments, I should say, that have been developed and widely used to support the documentation of disability status. And we called these out in particular, a couple of groups here, the American Community Survey and the Washington Group on Disability Statistics have developed and utilized extensively these seven questions identified by the bullets. And these we specifically recommend identifying as a data set that can be used to support the documentation of disability status, thinking that eventually all certified health IT might have the ability to capture and exchange these particular data elements. Next slide. Going on, this is a short list, and again, they're all in an appendix to the document that we've sent you of specific instruments used to document mental and cognitive status. On the next slide. There we go. A specific set of instruments and assessments that are standardized and coded that are used to document functional status. And then on the next slide. We have the next recommendation, which really, as I said, we did have a representative from the physical therapy domain who educated us about the International Classification of Functioning, Disability, and Health, the ICF model, a little different than the International Classification of Diseases, the ICD model that many of us clinicians are aware of. It was very interesting to learn about this value set, which has a hierarchy looking at function, structure, activities, and environmental factors that impact health. And we felt that it was worthwhile for the ONC to consider referencing this ICF model as a potential value set that would be also applicable in this health status assessments data class. We didn't go so far as to say that it was ready for prime time in this next version, but it's definitely worth consideration for inclusion potentially in version 3 or in a future version. Next slide. Our fifth recommendation is that there was a lot of discussion in our work group about the importance of patient and caregiver generated health data and the importance of identifying which data did come from the patient as opposed to from a professional clinician. So we felt, especially in this area of health status assessments, that these assessments could be populated either by the patient or their representative or by a clinician. And we felt that it was important as this data class came online that we were able to identify the source of the data, that we could accommodate self-assessments either using specified LOINC codes that would point to self-assessment instruments and or utilizing the author data element within the provenance data class to indicate that the source of the assessment was the individual. And I think we'll touch additionally on this author data element in the next recommendation. So go ahead. So recommendation 6 speaks to the additional data element on related person and related person's relationship. These were newly suggested data elements. And we felt it was important that in the final version 3 that it be clarified that these are identifying the relationships of these individuals for such purposes as medical record linkage, patient matching, and demographic purposes, and that these are different than care team membership, which is already existing within the current USCDI and has a different role in the exchange of information. But the idea of having related persons that can be used for a number of additional use cases is important, but needs to be differentiated. Next slide. All right. There is a new data element called pregnancy status in the draft USCDI version 3, which we applaud and appreciate its value. But we did feel that there was an additional pregnancy status beyond those that were presented. It was recommended that this data element could be populated with pregnant, not pregnant, and unknown. We felt the intent to become pregnant was an important pregnancy status, which should be considered for inclusion in version 3 that has a lot of critical uses in terms of planning medical care as looking at medication use, et cetera. Next slide. All right, eighth recommendation. There is a new data element called reason for referral within the procedures data class. We felt that it needed to be clarified that this could be used by whether or not it was required to be used by all certified health IT, because it is not necessarily the case that every certified system needs to give its users the chance to document this particular data. And this ends up being a motif that we've considered really across multiple discussions. That is to say that whether or not an element being in the USCDI means that every system needs to have the ability to collect that data element, as opposed to whether it needs to be able to receive and store that data element when it's collected by others. There's a real sensitivity to the burdens that additional data collection requirements could place on clinicians. And we felt that this one in particular, reason for referral, not every system is going to need to collect that, but again, if they receive it, they should have a place to store it. Next slide. All right. The reason for referral data element, again, within the procedures data class, we felt that it would increase clarity if it were named the reason or indication for the referral or procedure, because it can be really used in these multiple ways. And we felt that this was clearer as questions were coming up from stakeholders as to really what did this mean. Next slide. All right. We felt that the SNOMED CT was the applicable vocabulary standard for the specimen type data element within the laboratory data class. Remember that one of our tasks was to look for applicable vocabulary standards where those were not specified, and we felt that this was worth including, and that ONC should also consider specifying the value sets defined by HL7 for specimen type, as well as in their FHIR V2 specimen type specification, that identifying these value sets would be helpful. Next slide. Recommendation 11 is to specify the applicable vocabulary standard for laboratory values and results data element as SNOMED CT for qualitative lab results and UCOM for numerical results. And again, these are well-established standards that are in use today, extensively exchanged, and another opportunity for the version 3 to add additional clarity. Next slide. The 12th recommendation for these new data elements that were included in draft version 3 has to do with the health insurance information data class. It has a number of component data elements that were suggested, and we thought that those were all quite valuable, but we felt that it should be specified that these refer to the patient's primary and secondary coverage, and they may not be at the individual encounter level. Sometimes there are encounters, for example, in the case of workers' comp or auto insurance cases, et cetera, where you've got an encounter-specific insurance. And we felt that that was kind of too much to ask for this first round out, and that the health insurance information should be at the individual level. Also a recommendation that ONC should continue to work with appropriate stakeholders to align the minimum vocabulary and value set for coverage type and to improve that over time within the US CDI specification. Next slide. All right, so that brought us to the end of the first 12 recommendations that had to do with what was included in draft US CDI version 3. And then we turned our attention to our next subtask, which had to do with those data elements that were in level 2, but were not initially suggested for inclusion in version 3. I will add an aside here that we did work with a number of representatives from HL7. We have said in our prior work around US CDI that it is important that as we add new data elements to the US CDI, that they are supported not only by data standards, but also by the relevant implementation guides that are required so that users and vendors can really put these data to use. And we appreciate that a lot of work needs to be done by the HL7 community to get those standards out the door, especially for some of these newer data elements, that there are some, you know, there's a certain amount of throughput that system can support, and that there may be data elements in this ask that are really kind of too much for that system to come forward with over the relevant period of time to be able to support. So while these are all things that we felt were supported by the community and were important and worthwhile including in the version 3, we appreciate that perhaps HL7 will say that you know, one or more of these is just more than they can support in a single year's cycle. So with that, let's go ahead. The first recommendation in this and our 13th recommendation overall, as I mentioned earlier, was to add the author data element to the provenance data class. Those of you who've been around a while will recall that this was proposed for the very first version of US CDI, and we held it back because we thought that it was too much to ask. There are clearly some technical challenges defining and capturing the author for every single data element. But as mentioned earlier, it's particularly important when we're looking at patient-generated health data and the need to be able to identify that data that is generated by the patient or a caregiver, for example, family member, as opposed to those that are generated by professional clinicians and caregivers. So we felt that it was important for specific data elements within USCDI that we could make this differentiation. And we've discussed race and ethnicity, gender identity, sexual orientation, as well as the new disability and pregnancy status data elements as those where it can be particularly important to identify which data is generated by the author. So I think it's important for ONC to think through this carefully, that requiring the author for every data element might be challenging for some systems. I think there do need to be some definitions going on, but then we will, but at least for this set, we think it's particularly important. All right. I hear a rumor that Arian may be joining us. Are you here yet, Arian? Not quite. He's on his way. That's great. We will keep going. On to the next recommendation, 14. We felt that the following data elements that are leveled at level 2 should be included in the USCDI version 3, family health history, problem date of onset, two sub-elements under allergies, that is to say non-medication and food allergies, as well as travel information. Obviously, travel information, you know, was important early on in the pandemic and clearly has an impact on a number of health conditions. These are all elements that the ONC has felt were ready technically and socially for exchange, and we felt that it made sense to consider them for inclusion in version 3. And here again, all of these might be clinical observations and or patient reported data. Next slide. I'm just going to get us through this section and then Arian can pick it up as we transition to the next. Our 15th recommendation has to do with average blood pressure. This is an element that we've had a lot of opportunity to discuss because at, I think now three of our meetings, we've had public comment from the American Medical Association and the American Hospital Association about how important they feel this is. Certainly average blood pressure is often utilized to monitor hypertension, especially in the outpatient setting. There are a number of groups that have worked on defining this and we felt that it was worthwhile for the ONC to work with those groups to determine really what this definition needs to be. I mean, to just say average blood pressure is a little vague. It needs to be defined as to, you know, average perhaps over how many readings, in over what period of time, are they all within the same setting or a different setting? This is important to differentiate this from the mean arterial pressure, which is really an average of the systolic and the diastolic pressure. So we felt that there was an opportunity to advance this data element from level 2 into either the next or a future version of USCDI, and that it was important for ONC to put some focus on this, given the importance of this for stakeholders. Next slide. There we go. We recommend that the V3 also include an organizational identifier. This was of particular importance to CMS, the idea of being able to identify the organization in which care took place. And for this identifier, you know, you need to have the number as well as the assigning authority. That is to say, what, you know, what is this number a part of? This is true for a number of elements within USCDI where you need to have, for example, you know, if a physician has a medical license number or a nurse has an identifier, you need to be able to say, here's the number or the alphanumeric string, and here is, you know, the assigning authority or the meaning of that. So we felt that organizational identifier was ready for prime time, very important to the community and worth adding. We also, as part of this, felt that there should be a defined set of assigning authorities that would include and be able to accommodate a number of different numbering systems, including NPI, CCN, and PTAN, and that this data element be able to support multiple identifiers as sometimes there is more than one that is applicable in a given setting. And we felt that this organizational identifier should be associated with the encounter as opposed to with the patient. That sort of seems self-evident. As we said, this does not mean that every system must collect this data, but that it should be required to exchange this data if it is known. Next slide. All right, and then that brings us to the next stash of these, the data elements that were already included in prior versions of USCDI, where we wanted to provide some commentary on those. And Arian, are you on audio?
I am here. Let's go.
Terrific. Why don't you take it from here?
All right. Great. We had a good amount of discussion about, as Stephen already covered, about the notes information, and we want to make sure that the discharge summary data element, which is already a data element in USCDI, refers to the unstructured narrative. We have a fair amount of discussion about how to handle narrative notes. There's some ambiguity here between handling the narrative section of a discharge summary and what's often called the discharge summary in health IT land, which is a fully structured either consolidated CDA or FHIR document. So if we go on to the next recommendation. Sort of going along with that recommendation, we want to make sure that USCDI includes all note types parameterized by a LOINC code. If that's a bridge too far, then at least we should be adding the surgical operation, surgical op note, and the tumor board note. So just a little bit of background clarification. We've been adding note types one by one. And at this point, we have quite a number of note types. And we're trying to add them in terms of clinical utility. But what is clinical utility for one specialty, maybe too much for another, and what's not included may have the most vital or critical information. So we felt it was a better approach just to make sure that notes are coded via LOINC codes, are made available for purposes of interoperability. We can go through the clarifications here. So number one is we just want to make sure that this recommendation is for the narrative note, the textual summary, clinical document, textual summary, as opposed to a CDA or FHIR structured documents. If we go into the next page. And anytime where you recommend that any be available, it's important to clarify that for purposes of some future certification or testing, we're not intending just to say that every EHR be able to produce every possible class of document or note type. It would be a little illogical for a pediatric EHR to produce a surgical op note. What we want to make sure is that when a note is produced, it is labeled with the correct LOINC code, and that when a note is received, it is also labeled with the correct LOINC code, and that the receiver can at least display it as a foo type note. It would be useful for conformance purposes or testing purposes for there to be a core value set. Oftentimes when we have a possibly infinite value set, it's useful to constrain to a core value set for purposes of conformance testing. Because we have a large number of notes that are currently uncoded, we suggest to ONC that they work with LOINC to create a new code to address legacy notes that aren't specially coded. So, maybe a generalized note code. This one spans pages. So if we go to the next page. Number 19, we want to make sure that the smoking status data element is not a thing, but something that can be represented using a number of assessment instruments or assessment methodologies. I believe we have some sample line codes associated with this. If we go on to the next recommendation. We would like in general, we have a number of classes in USCDI that are, where we make a reference to a single element, or in some cases, a range of elements, but the actual class includes much more. So here we're recommending in USCDI that we include a fully scoped medication data class. And here we seek to constrain that fully fleshed out data class using data elements that are already required for a variety of interoperability specifications associated with certification. That could be ANSI PScript, FHIR, and Consolidated CDA. And you know, we list here a number of the data elements that are associated with that fully scoped out data class. So just for the high tax reference, the medication data class currently requires medication and Rx norm code. Clinically, that's not really interpretable without the, for example, some of the other data elements that we're listing here. If we go on to the next recommendation. So we already have an address specification. The address specification has a number of fields associated with it. ONC put together in conjunction with a number of other federal stakeholders, put together a wonderful set of specifications with an accompanying companion guide called Project US App, Project USA, not Project US App. It puts together a set of formalizations and requirements for address, including current address and previous address. Those data content recommendations help and facilitate data matching. And the Project USA spec also has accompanied with it an API for test. In future, we'd like that API to be available for broader use and normalization. That normalizing address information consistently would help with patient matching. The Project USA spec has an address metadata spec that is used for labeling an address. As a particular type of label, we feel it's very important that the metadata specs that speak to homeless status, temporary addresses, multi-stakeholder dwelling, et cetera, be included. So basically we'd like the Project USA metadata schema to be added to the current address and previous address. Again, that's going to help with matching by allowing us to distinguish whether an address that's in use is one that is persistent over time or one that may be temporary or associated with an unhoused status. Because again, we're adding content and structure to a field that previously didn't exist, we're going to have the issue of legacy data sitting in EHRs. And so we feel it's appropriate in our last sub-portion of this recommendation to include a content specifier in the same way that we often have content specifiers or value set specifiers. If we go on to the next slide. All right, so we had a fantastic presentation, as Stephen already noted, by the Gender Harmony work group. There are a set of data associated here. And we'd like in USCDI 3, the Gender Harmony's project's 5 data elements and their associated value sets to be included for gender identity, sex for clinical use, recorded sex or gender, named use, and pronouns. Gender identity, we'd like to make sure that value set combines values from both Gender Harmony and ONC. The gender harmony value set is male, female, non-binary, and unknown. We've added two more to stay current to the current ONC value set. So if we go into the next one. All right. We have an existing field called recorded sex or sex assigned at birth. To be principled, we'd like sex assigned at birth to be one part of what Gender Harmony calls recorded sex or gender. That allows the notion of a recorded sex or gender allows for observations or legal status documentation to be captured at a point in time. And sex assigned at birth, we believe most, we believe should be a recorded sex or gender assigned at the time of birth. That puts it at a much more principled status. There's a lot of legal, sometimes murky definition or jurisdictional definition around sex assigned at birth. And all we're looking for is for that field to stand for the sex that was either observed or legally assigned at the date of birth. We believe that gender identity should be in the patient demographic class, and name to use and pronouns should also be included in that class. As we've already associated or already discussed with metadata, that gender identity, name to use, and pronouns should be specified as typically being self-reported or coming from self-report from the individual. We note the recorded sex or gender may be a clinical value or it may be a legal documentary status. So we're not making any particular clinical judgments when we think about a recorded sex or gender. If we go on to the next one. Sex for clinical use. As I think many people know, in our understanding of sex and gender, we contemplate usually that sex is the biological fact, gender is the culturally determined or self-reported identity. And in some situations, both either associated with a person who's transitioning or a person whose basic biology doesn't fit to a neat binary schematic, there may well be some context-dependent aspects to the biological fact that may have clinical interpretation. And so because of that, the Gender Harmony Group believes, and this is backed by other stakeholder groups that have delved deeply into this topic, that we should have a clinically context-specific and context-dependent identifier or observations. That's sex for clinical use. You can imagine a number of situations where, for example, the sex for clinical use for lab ranges may be different from the sex for clinical use for physical imaging. We give the example of an image study versus laboratory assessment. And then for both of these values, recorded sex or gender and sex for clinical use, we recommend that we have the associated metadata that goes along with it that identifies whether this is an observation or a self-assessment. So a lot there. We had a fantastic presentation from the Gender Harmony Group that helped. They've already done a lot of the pre-thought there. So if we go on to the next set of recommendations. All right. So as we discussed medications, the current USCDI spec for lab says that it's a lab that has an accompanying LOINC code. A well-structured lab observation, lab result has quite a bit more to be clinically interpretable. So there are a set of data elements that are already included, those in level two currently, but already functionally included in every EHR or in most systems that are associated with certification. And are already required by, for example, CMS under CLIA with a specific regulation associated with the transmittal of lab results. These are mapped to existing certification requirements using FHIR Consolidated CDA and the ELR spec. These include the unit of measure, laboratory result date and timestamp, when the test was performed, the specimen source, and test kit unique identifier. Test kit unique identifier is a new addition. It's very important to be able to track in test kits that have some level of disposability associated with them, tracking them back to the original observation. But the first four are really pull-ups from things that I think people have already assumed or implied to be in the laboratory data class, and just making it clear that they really are in the laboratory data class. All of these data elements are to be sent if available, and inclusion in USCDI does not imply a requirement for collection, only a requirement to transmit and use when the data is available. This actually is pretty consistent with the documentation in CLIA. So if we go on to the next page.
That comes back to me.
All right.
Great. Thank you, Arian, for taking us through those. And just a reminder, reorientation for everybody. First, we presented recommendations regarding the data elements and new elements and classes included in the draft V3. We then went through recommendations related to level two data elements that we felt were deserving and warranted to also include in version three, knowing that that might be a lot to ask, but we felt that, it made sense to try to include those in this phase. And then we did a little bit of out of scope work, as we so often do in our work groups and task forces. So these next few recommendations are recommendations that do not directly address those two questions that we were asked, but we felt were important to bring forward. So we present them to you here. So on the next slide, we do request and recommend that ONC charge our work group with some additional work. Specifically, Arian just talked about the data elements from level two that should be added to the medication data class to make that more robust and functional. But even with all of those, we do not have the data required to be able to construct specific medication lists. That is to say, what is the current medication list or what is the discharge medication list? This requires some additional data in addition to what's already been suggested, and really some additional thought with the input of vendors and other experts. And we feel that this would be an appropriate area of focus for the work group. And if you all see fit to ask us to do that work, we would be happy to do it this year after we are done with our ISO work. But of course, that would require some additional support from ONC. And I think our work group is willing to do that, to stay on and focus on these. The next recommendation, B, is similarly, we request to be charged with the development of recommendations around the data models necessary to support the interoperability of discrete laboratory test results. Here again, this is a very important and complex area where a lot of work has been done by different groups. A lot of efforts have been made. I think in the context of the pandemic, we actually saw substantial success in the ability to exchange discrete laboratory data related to COVID-19. But that was really bespoke development that was done by a number of vendors and organizations to make that possible. And that is really needed for all discrete laboratory data. It's a big bunch of work and one that we feel that the ONC should be continuing to advance, and our work group would be happy to participate in that work and trying to move that forward and develop specific recommendations. Next slide. The work group also wants to encourage the ONC to explore qualifiers regarding the collection and measurement of vital signs. We talked about multiple vital signs, average blood pressures, but there's more to it than that. It's important to be able to qualify vital signs when and where and how they're collected. There are existing LOINC codes to support this work. And while this was not, these were not data elements that were at level two, so we could not suggest their inclusion in this next version, we do feel that ONC should support them and see what's needed to get them up to snuff for level two so that they can be added into a future version of USCDI. Next slide. The work group Also encourages ONC to work on the development of a new data element called accommodations. We had, as we noted, a lot of discussion about documenting disability status and other health statuses, but accommodations has not been submitted as a data element for inclusion in USCDI. This comes up a lot in our discussions. People say, oh, well, we should also include this. And we say, well, we can't do that because nobody has bothered to submit it into the system. So we can't approve the addition of something that hasn't been submitted and leveled and evaluated. Accommodations is one of those things. And we feel that it should be, that ONC can work with stakeholders to help bring that forward into the mix for future inclusion. And the next slide. Similarly, laboratory reference range is down at level one, so we were not in a position to recommend its inclusion in USCDI version 3. I think a lot of people are surprised to see this down at level one because, of course, we exchange laboratory reference ranges all the time. So again, encouraging ONC to work with stakeholders to see what's really needed to bring that from level one up to level two so that it can be included in a future version of USCDI as such an important data element. And next slide. And that, my friends, is our recommendations. So as you can see, our work group has been working as a group and has brought forward these recommendations for your consideration. I think we have plenty of time here to entertain questions. So Denise, why don't you take us through that?
Yes. Thank you, Stephen and Arian. So let me see if we have anybody in the queue. It looks like Eliel made a comment in the chat. Did you, because I don't see any hands up.
I did respond to that.
Eliel did.
Yeah, he made the good point that you know, we have previous address, but it'd be nice to have previous phone numbers and previous emails to support patient matching efforts. I couldn't agree more. That's a great example of one of those data elements that nobody's bothered to suggest. So we can't bring it forward if it hasn't been suggested and leveled. So anyone, any member of the public has the opportunity to go into the website to create an account and to suggest new data elements and or classes. And I'll say I've done that personally. It's been very satisfying. It's great working with the ONC team. They work closely with submitters. Anybody can put that in for suggestion.
All right, thank you. Michelle Schreiber has her hand up.
Hi, thank you. First of all, thank you for a great presentation, Stephen and Arian. On behalf of CMS, we're really very excited to see the recommendations coming forward. CMS also was collaborative with CDC in bringing forward some of these as well, and we're really pleased to see this. We really particularly want to support ONC moving forward with support for this committee, especially around medication classes, because we think having a standardized medication list is so important clinically, as well as the other recommendations for further support, but particularly that one. The other areas for support that weren't quite captured, but I think maybe we should talk about in the future, would be end of life issues, as well as detailing out encounter and encounter history, but fully supportive of the recommendations and really want to thank the committee and our co-chairs.
All right, thank you, Michelle.
And yes, the medication list is one that we believe we would like to be tasked with more specifically. Again, as a reminder to the community, we used to have the functional requirement that EHRs be able to capture medication lists. That was removed, but we feel it would be important to have the interoperability specifications for medication lists when they exist. And again, would feel that would be a good part of our future future work plan.
And with regard to the end of life issues, there are a number of advanced directive data elements that are sitting down at level one. So were not available to us to recommend bringing forward. Certainly this work groups that have looked at USCDI over time have enthusiastically discussed the potential value of exchanging information about advanced directives, Pulsed, et cetera. Our understanding is that ONC has looked at that work, has determined that it is not yet ready for inclusion in US CDI, hence the level one work. So I think anybody who's working in that space who wants to see those standards advance has an opportunity to comment within the website, to engage with ONC, and to prove that those elements are ready for exchange.
Okay, our next question is from Hans Budinchek.
Good morning, and thank you. First of all, thank you, Stephen and Aaron, to do a great summary of all the work that was done in the work group. Really reflects well what happened and what to focus on. There's one that I would like to underscore a little bit more, and that is not necessarily directly at USCDI, but some of the impacts of USCDI expanding that perhaps at some point in time could become a discussion of high tech as well, or at least an awareness. And that's around the motif that Stephen started with. Arian has repeated a couple of times that as USCDI grows, starts to include data that is very appropriate to include in USCDI, and we need a lot more in it, that not necessarily all HIT, and I'm not saying EHRs, I'm saying HIT in general, including EHRs, need not support for their particular focus or their role supporting the respective stakeholders. But at this point in time, and that has been called out, is that we don't have to be careful, is that while there is optionality on the provider side to support or not, on the HIT to be certified to capabilities, and particularly assume that everything is adopted in UCDI version 3, then as somebody with HIT would like to adopt, certify using the ASFAP process, they would have to certify against everything. Not necessarily just what they need, but everything. So I think the comments that are being made that already in USCDI, but need to be looked at generally, that we have to be very cautious and considerate that not all in USCDI need to be supported by all HIT. So somehow we need to figure out how that works as to not to encumber and create effectively special efforts on the side of HIT to create capabilities that they actually don't need. So something to consider for future discussions. It doesn't impact what is in the USCDI right now, what's being proposed, because all that data is relevant and we need to grow it to ultimately get to cover all of EHI. It is a consideration of how do we manage it downstream.
Thank you, Hans. That's a really good point. And I know that has been a concern for me, as well as a number of other folks who have raised that issue, and it would encourage probably vendors to get their health IT certified if there was some optionality there that was appropriate for the particular product that they would like to get certified. And I know from a provider organization perspective, there is some assurance to acquiring a certified product versus a non-certified. Any other hands? I don't see any.
Denise, I'll introduce a comment to simply say what a pleasure it's been to work with the ONC team in this effort. They've really been providing tremendous support in terms of putting together the group, helping us with meetings, you know, bringing experts to the table, and really all of the background work they do to evaluate the submissions that come into the website, to do the leveling, et cetera. So certainly our work group could not have accomplished this without the tremendous support of ONC, and we thank them for that.
Yeah, and as usual, that last moment when a bunch of work group discussion gets turned into a thoughtful and readable and coherent recommendations letter. Really appreciative of ONC and Al, especially for all the work.
Couldn't agree more. It's a great collaboration, and we couldn't do the work we're doing without their help. And of course, they need all of us too, the subject matter expertise. So, all right. Any other final comments or questions from the committee before we go to a vote on the recommendations that this work group has offered to our committee to vote on. Well, Stephen and Arian, it looks like we're ready to move to a vote. If I could have a motion to approve the recommendations that the work group has brought forth to the HITAC to deliver to the national coordinator.
Motion approved.
All right, let's see, who did we have motion?
It was Arian.
Okay. All right, and second was Hans.
I happy to, but I did not get a chance. There were others already ahead of me.
So. It was actually Michelle. Denise, it was Michelle.
Oh, okay, Michelle. All right, thank you. All those in favor, say aye.
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 Okay, any no's? Any abstentions? All right, so moved and voted. It's unanimous. Thank you very much, Stephen and Arian, for leading this group and for all the work that the work group did, as well as ONC. We really appreciate it.
Well, wait till you see what we bring you in June.
Oh, boy. That's right. That's coming up next or in a couple months. All right. So, Mike, are we ready to move to public comment? Let's see, how are we doing on our time?
We are doing great, and we are ready to move to public comment if you are.
All right, yeah, we're a little ahead of time, but that's good. Certainly, let's do that.
Great. So we're going to open up our meeting today for public comments. So if you're on Zoom and would like to make a comment, please use the hand raise function, which is located on the Zoom toolbar at the bottom of your screen. If you happen to be just on the phone only, press *9 to raise your hand, and once called upon, press *6 to mute and unmute your line. So let's pause for a moment and see if we have any public comments. I am not seeing any, but we'll give it another minute. And I just want to remind everyone while we're waiting that the next HITAC meeting will be held on May 18th, and that all the materials from today's meeting can always be found on the HITAC page on healthit.gov. I'm still not seeing any hands raised, Denise and Arian, so I will turn it back to you to close us out.
Denise, you first. You are on mute.
Thank you, everyone, for joining today. And thank you again, Stephen and Arian, for your excellent job presenting your recommendations. And I wish you all a great day, and I hope you all get to enjoy today and tomorrow some of the sessions that ONC is sponsoring at their annual meeting.
Absolutely. So welcome. Thank you for everybody, and welcome to the new ONC meeting after this, and enjoy it. And we will talk to you next month. Have a good one.
Thanks, everyone.